Thanks, Justin, for those kind words. You're never sure where Justin's going to go with introductions, so that was quite a relief for me. And thank you to Cedar for affording me the opportunity to speak here today. Over the years, I've run various Lend-Lease businesses, predominantly actually around the world as opposed to in Australia. And one surprising but very pleasing fact that came out through that time was that both Australian companies, and particularly the Australian economy, was actually world-class and world-competitive. And because Lend-Lease was successful in Australia, when we went overseas, we were able to leverage those successes, those perspectives and those skills to make many, many businesses where we work around the world highly competitive and highly successful. But, like always, the competitive landscape is changing again, as it always does. And businesses around the world, what I'm seeing now, and Lend-Lease is seeing, are either willingly or being forced to add sustainability to their kit bag. So yes, they've still got to deliver economic and profitable outcomes for their shareholders, but they've got to do it in a sustainable fashion. Disturbingly though, I'd argue that Australia and Australian businesses are not leading the way in this area. So that really brings me to my key message, which I'll get into in the speech, but there's a real risk here for Australia and Australian businesses. And as global and Northern Hemisphere companies get on top of sustainability and build genuine company cultures around this, much of Australia-domiciled business could well get left behind. There's been a number of CEDA lunches over the last few months which have focused on either a sustainability or an environmental theme. So I thought that obviously what I'm doing today is going to build on this, but I didn't decide deliberately not to go down the zealot route. I thought I'd step back and just talk about what does all that mean for business and how might you approach it as a business. So I haven't turned up here today to tell you, as you might have expected me to, don't buy coastal property because it'll all be flooded in 20 years. Now, I've stayed away from the fact that you should immediately rush out and fill your garages with bottled water because there won't be any soon. I'll speak for about 20 minutes today and then take questions at the end. I want to focus on three key themes. Firstly, I want to step back and give you some insights into sustainability and what we're seeing happening around the world, both personal experiences and Lend-Lease's experiences. I want to give you some perspectives of what will impact businesses here in Australia or what is already impacting businesses. But I will tailor them to be broader, as Justin alluded to a broader audience than just property. So I'm not going to give you a diatribe of property perspectives. Some of the examples I'll give, both good and bad, might have a property flavour, but they'll hopefully ring true for you. Secondly, I want to come back to that point I made in the introduction, and that's that Australia and Australian businesses are not leading the way in sustainability. Are not. And that is a real medium-term risk to the competitiveness of this country and the organisations that are in this country. And finally, I want to focus you all on the younger part of your workforce. I want to talk about their psyche. They're actually predisposed or pre-wired to think environmental, social, economic issues. That's the way we're producing these people these days. I want to share how Lend-Lease and some of our clients are actually harnessing this natural free kick to drive a sustainable culture through their own workforces. Now, I'm very, very proud to have lasted this long without defining sustainability. I bet some of you are quite shocked about that, but anyway. But I do want to correct this now because I think it helps put some meat on the bones of where I'm going to go with this talk. To be sustainable, and I'll read a well-known quote on this because I think it's quite good. You know, sustainable is to achieve development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. Now, when thinking about sustainability and that sort of definition, the real point of that is it's not just the environment. It's about social issues and it's about economic issues as well. You've got to get them all in balance. Lend-Lease has an aspiration to be a sustainable organisation. Increasingly, that aspiration is pervading our culture. We feel it right through the organisation. It's defining the way we do business and what business we do. It affects us across our entire organisation, so it's not just a project thing, it's actually a holistic business thing. So while it means a commitment that our projects exceed environmental standards and lead the market in green building design and performance, just importantly, it means a number of other things to us. Actively working to eliminate worker-related injury, providing opportunities for the development of employees that will retain and attract talent to our organisation, contributing to the long-term health of the communities that live and occupy our developments and buildings by focusing as much on the social and economic components as we do on the environmental, You'll hear me talk about this later. We call this the software of what goes into communities. And it's increasingly a much more important feature of what we do. And finally, ensuring the relationships with our clients and partners are mutually rewarding and long-lasting. As I said in my opening remarks, the world is moving on the broader sustainability agenda, and no matter what business you're in or where you have operations, it's hard to avoid. Counterintuitively, some of the worst offending organisations from 10 to 20 years ago are probably the most progressed in getting this right now. Why? Because they're the obvious targets for NGOs around the world. Greenpeace and companies like Greenpeace, Amnesty International have really focused on the obvious offenders of 10 to 20 years ago, and some of those companies have really had to drive themselves forward. Oil companies were heavily scrutinised from an environmental perspective. Pharmaceutical companies, you know, as they went out and created life-saving patented drugs that were very expensive, they hit the issue that the people in third worlds who couldn't afford these drugs, you know, were hitting the patents of these companies, and that caused them a lot of issues and a lot of focus came onto them from people like Amnesty International. And then just larger companies that take global decisions which make eminent sense at the global level have major social and economic impacts on small local communities. And you've just got to go to Davos one year to see how that's reflected in people's reaction to that. When you get inside the companies that have successfully worked their way through these issues over many years, you find two things. First, that they take sustainability very seriously, but equally importantly, they're not faking it. Their very survival of their organisation has depended on getting sustainability in their business as an actual genuine value. It's becoming part of the DNA of their organisations. Now, this trend hit Lendlease, I think, in full force about 6 to 7 years ago. It wasn't directly. We weren't hassled by any NGOs or anything like that. It came through our client relations with organisations that had been, through BP, the Pfizers of the world, the big oil companies and the big pharmaceutical companies we were working with. Where we worked for or with these organisations, they demanded that we lived up to their aspirations and values. And not just while working for them. We couldn't be hypocritical. We had to achieve it right across our businesses. And a good example is where Lendlease's safety awareness and cultural change program was driven and inspired from. And it came from working with BP as a client. After a couple of serious safety incidents around the world and working for BP, one in Japan where an individual was killed and one in Chicago where someone fell off a roof and also died. Two freak accidents, but in quick succession. I actually got the opportunity at that point to meet John Brown, or Lord Brown, the BP CEO. It wasn't exactly the first meeting I was hoping for with him. The essence of my invitation, and I'll put it in inverted commas, was to convince him how we were going to fix what he saw as a total lack of safety culture, not only on the BP Alliance, but in Lendlease itself. The meeting, I couldn't define it as pleasant. He's very softly spoken sort of individual. I wish he'd actually yelled at me at the time, but he wouldn't do that, so it made me even feel worse, I think. But he left me with one very clear understanding. We had 6 months to show material progress, or he'd actually terminate every contract and every association that Lendlease had with BP anywhere around the world. At the time, we had 15% of Bovis's profits each year coming from this relationship. So you can imagine the wake-up call that was for us. The focus this caused in Lendlease was very, very real, as you can imagine, right from the board right through the business. And ultimately, it actually made us a better company. A few years on now, it's probably 6 or 7 years since then, the BP Lendlease Alliance now achieves best-in-class safety approaches and statistics when compared with all of BP's operations, either internally or externally. But even more importantly, getting it right with BP translated to an entire rethink of our own approach around worker and employee safety across all of the Lendlease businesses worldwide. That was a major undertaking for us, 44 countries around the world. Coordinated activism through NGOs or other well-organised groups of people continues to grow rather than diminish. And it's not hard to take the leap that the property industry and its participants are likely to experience growing attention over the coming years. A simple look at some statistics will bear this out. Buildings through energy consumption produce 40% of global greenhouse emissions. They also consume one-third of the resources of materials in the world to construct them. Construction activities are responsible for 40% of the world's waste, and construction activities are one of the biggest industrial killers in the world. And finally, much development activity continues to regularly build tomorrow's slums today. What I thought I'd put up here is bring this last point to life, because it happens again and again. What this picture shows here is social housing apartments being built in Elephant and Castle in London around 40 years ago. They're an absolute disaster. Within 10 years of being built, they created whole pieces of London with no demographic diversity and chronic inbuilt social problems. Predictably, we're now competing in London, one of two consortias, on a regeneration project in Elephant Castle, of which the first thing you're asked to do is knock down 20,000 apartments before you even start. And you can see these examples again and again, and even in our own cities here in Australia. This slide shows attractive new suburban development in America. Clearly, we're not learning from our mistakes, and this is not a Lend-Lease product. I just want to make that quite clear. That in itself actually provides companies like Lend-Lease and others that get this stuff potential competitive advantage when we've learnt these lessons elsewhere. Sometimes the hard way, but we now have the means or have the means to apply them effectively across multiple markets. The rising reality of community activism and the direct impact it has on political decision making or not making is a lesson that's been well learnt by Lend-Lease in the many years. I want to go back to when we first popped the champagne corks on this project, St Mary's site, ADI site in Western Sydney, back in 1993. As far as we could tell back in 1993, we had 1,500 juicy hectares of infill residential community development ahead of us. It was absolutely a fantastic cakewalk opportunity. We'd hire a great master planner, drop the solution on the council, everyone would love it, and off we'd go and make $1 squillion. Well, 13 years later, the development's nearly half the size of the original scheme. And we've only just started to sell the first home site in the Eastern Precinct called Ropes Crossing over on the other side of the slide. In many ways, St Mary's has been a litmus test for some of the extraordinary changes in planning for sustainable development over the past decade. It's been very frustrating at times, but we've learned a great deal through the process. And I think it's fair to say we now have a development outcome which will be great on a great ongoing sustainable community. Ropes Crossing, as I said, which is the first area we're now selling home sites, incorporates much of the software I mentioned earlier. It's a commitment to create jobs for 5,500 people, of which we set up a skilling forum, a skilling group out there, which has already placed about 260 people before we even sold the first home. Flora and fauna reserves that deal with extensive wildlife and fauna on the site have been set up. We've got integrated education outcomes, diversity in housing price and housing units to ensure a true community. You don't want a one-size-fits-all extension of suburban Sydney sprawl. And there's many other standards in this which we'd now apply when approaching any community development. We often lament if we'd only started with this perspective rather than learn it on the way through the hard way. Another trend of notable importance is the rise of various business-based organisations around the world. And these can generally be classified in three broad groups. Those that are trying to measure how well you're achieving sustainable outcomes, they're measuring what you're doing. Those that are trying to position themselves to represent business and set the agenda in the name of business as to what government or other bodies should be doing. Or those that are now out there collecting investors' money and investing in only those companies that they believe have a sustainable ethic and look for sustainable, true sustainable outcomes. I'll pick one of these and talk briefly about. That's the United Nations Global Reporting Initiative, or GRI, at the top right-hand corner there. What this initiative seeks to achieve is to make reporting on economic, environmental, and social performance by all organisations as routine as financial reporting. It provides reporting guidelines that enable the assessment and communication of an organisation's sustainability performance in a framework that allows for comparison between companies as well as benchmarking and informed target setting. More than 1,000 companies now reference GRI in their annual reporting, and that number is growing rapidly every year. As a side note, GRI is the key criteria used to assess companies that are included in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, which is another little brand I've got up there. As well as providing universal reporting guidelines, the GRI also provides a number of sector supplements. This is in response to the unique and sometimes detailed and different needs of particular sectors. And many of these sector supplements are being developed as we speak. As a result of an apparent lack of awareness and engagement from both the Australian government and business, there's a real likelihood that these reporting standards will be laid down without much Australian industry discussion or involvement. For our part, Lend-Lease is one of a couple of people in Australia, companies, that are actively engaged in the development of a GRI property sector supplement. We want to make sure it makes sense and is relevant to how we see that we should, what we should be reporting on sustainable issues in the property industry. Our view, you don't have to subscribe to it, is that GRIs will become the reporting framework for public companies around the world. And it's really disappointing standing here and seeing the Australian government approaches it with a let's monitor it and see what happens approach. And industry bodies, including the Business Council of Australia, have been very slow to engage at best. As an interesting sidebar, I'm going to the World Council of Sustainable Development in New York in November, and one of eight Australian companies will be there. Only eight, and it's all the members that are actually involved in it. So it's quite depressing when you actually step back and look at what's happening around the world and how Australia isn't engaged. So with that quick travel around the world, I'd like to bring these snapshots together with a handful of key takeaways on this first theme. Now, even if sustainability issues are not a real issue for your business now directly, they could be very real for your customer base. Find yourself out of step with them or incapable of dealing with their philosophical position, and you may find yourself not doing business with them. Sustainability and caring about it is just not something you can fake. The companies that are best at it have spent years driving and forging the entire company culture in this direction. Understand who you work for. If they're really behaving in an unsustainable fashion themselves, be very careful, is my advice, on doing business with them. A, it'll impact your own brand and franchise, but equally, someone might see you as the point of leverage to get at them. And the broader sustainability agenda is being driven outside of Australia and is starting to get a real head of steam. You really need to step back and understand it, and if necessary, influence it. This roam around the world brings me to my second theme, which is my perspective on Australia's competitive outlook against the backdrop I just described. Australia has one of the most competitive property industries in the world. And as I said earlier, it's thanks to a combination of outward-looking companies that have made up our market and a progressive and open economic policy settings that have forced industry to compete on a global stage for a long time. Business around the world is now adding a new toolkit to their basic must-have operating systems, and that is sustainability. Lendlease, by virtue of our international activities, has had to embrace this and drive it holistically across our businesses around the world. It represents itself in many ways. A couple of examples: implementing GRI to both stay in the various sustainability indices, as well as effectively compare and contrast our progress against the competition. Needing to take safety to the next level and continue to work with the likes of BP, Pfizer, and a growing cadre of clients that demand it. And establishing a business unit in the UK or a business that focuses exclusively on delivering social housing outcomes. The City of London's mandates that every residential development you do in London has 50% of social and affordable housing. So you have to deal with that to actually compete effectively there. And the list goes on. I guess my point in this area is simple. Australia is not leading in the area of sustainability and being able to achieve sustainable outcomes. As a result, business in Australia in the medium term is at risk of being increasingly left behind and becoming increasingly vulnerable to international competitors. The final point I want to make is that starting this journey is not actually that hard. The answer lies within the younger part of your workforce, as they actually already get this. The education system, TV, internet, and society in general is producing a cadre of people who are naturally aware of these issues and generally take them very seriously. I do a lot of travel around the world, and my daughter asked me what my global footprint was because I was travelling too much. So, yeah, I don't have an Al Gore answer. I didn't buy carbon credits anywhere before I came here. So if you can organise your business to harness this, these people actually naturally drive your organisation forward with the culture and values you need to succeed. This actually cuts the other way as well, in that you will not attract the best and brightest unless your organisation has a sincere and transparent culture that aligns with this group. Australia, I'm not telling you anything, has the lowest unemployment figures in 27 years, and we as employers are constantly under pressure to attract and retain staff. In a recent survey of over 1,000 people conducted by Hays, skills shortage were regarded by all companies as their most biggest issue. That's against economic, compliance, all sorts of issues. Skills shortages was the biggest. The generation Ys, and for those that aren't across all these definitions, that's people that are loosely under 30 and over about 20, are the young recruits today and are the future talent we need to maintain business success. 72% of Generation Y will not apply for a role in an organisation if they do not believe in what it stands for. Likewise, 9 out of 10 Generation Y candidates view the reputation or brand of an organisation
as important in the decision of which company to work for. So how do you actually move your company to start this journey? It's quite simple. Two key things. Firstly, the leadership in the business has to believe in this. You've got to have leadership commitment. That goes without saying. But secondly, it's as simple as you need to create an environment where people are actually passionate about the variety of issues that sustainability covers, get some headroom to really start what ultimately is a cultural evolution or revolution in your business. I can spend hours on how to implement change management. I'm deliberately not going to go down that path. There's other experts in the room on that. But I thought I'd give you a quick snapshot of what Lendlease and a couple of companies are doing to actually drive this and harness this. And yes, it is another property example. I had to fall back on one eventually. Many of the most progressive companies in this area, and I'll put Lendlease in this basket, are using their office accommodation and amenity of their work environment to reinforce corporate culture and to create a working environment that employees truly value. To try and make understand this, I'll play it out in reverse. Let's say, like most here, you're a company that somewhere says you're sustainable or you aspire to be sustainable or something like that. Then let's cut to your head office. Environmentally, how does your base building rate? Environmentally, how does your fit-out rate, your use of your fit-out? Have you asked your staff whether their working environment reflects the beliefs and standards that you expect others to accept about your organisation? If you have a stated social conscience as a company, which I assume most do, as an organisation, have you even looked what might be happening in the area directly around your offices? Have you engaged as an organisation in these local social issues? To bring this to life, I want to explain what Lendlease was trying to achieve when it moved into its new corporate headquarters at 30 The Bond and Hickson Road here in Sydney. Developing The Bond 3 years ago was the start of Lendlease holistically starting to formalise its drive to underpin our culture and drive our culture with a genuine sustainability theme, a theme that went beyond what we did on our projects for our clients. As I said earlier, the key decision here was for leadership to decide and commit to do this. Then it was simply a matter of empowering our people and, quite honestly, getting out of the way, is the way I'd describe it. The team had a two-pronged brief. First, it was make the building sustainable across all sustainability measurements, as well make the building so we could use it to drive a sustainable culture through our organisation. And we had one caveat with the team. We weren't going to buy sustainability. It had to be commercially sane, so we weren't going to pay to be sustainable. It had to be a sustainable building economically for us to be in. They exceeded our wildest expectations. The building, studying on environmental themes, the building set new environmental benchmarks around the country. Innovations in the way the base building was developed, the materials used, the approach to building services allowed us to achieve Australia's first 5-star Green Star rating, exceeding the benchmark by 20%. Equally, our approach to how we built and then used the fit-out achieved similar outcomes. This allowed us to work both more efficiently, more cost-effectively, and the net result was we exceeded the 5-star rating by some 40% on our fit-out and our fit-out use. And that's consuming roughly about 25% of the average office tenancy in the country. The building created a great workspace with a real wow element to the design. It achieved transparency, flexibility, lots of bump factor, and ability to put the relevant business units close to each other. Importantly, we also looked outside of our own office accommodation and have engaged with the local community. The Rocks area, immediately around us, there is a large social housing community. Some may know this, may not know it. And in this community, there's many single-parent homes that are having difficulties, a variety of difficulties in raising their children. Engaging with this group has led to 50 Lendlease people now having been trained through TAFE courses as mentors for these children. And they do homework clubs, they actually just hang with them, they provide them advice, they are mentors for these children. And on top of that and the various other things, we've also established a not-for-profit down at, it's called the Millers Point Partnership, which now has 13 members, a combination of businesses in the local area, local government and community representatives. And that group works with the local community on a large range of initiatives, and it's the sort of the sponsor now for the mentoring program, which is broadening out beyond just Lendlease. Lendlease has received many accolades for the bond and what we're doing in the, for the community in the area. I'd love to stand here and say, aren't I clever? It was all my idea, brainchild of management. Well, it just wasn't. I mean, honestly, we had no idea where it was going to take us when we started it, and we let the lid off this. These were the staff initiatives and the people that worked on delivering the bond for us. It was nothing to do with management or senior management, and I doubt we ever would have got there, to be honest. The lessons we learnt from doing the 30 of the bond we've transferred to many clients, as well as to every office we now build around the world. And we're about to open our London office, which is another step above this, And another year or so, we'll do we should finish our Melbourne office. And what I love now in the organisation, it's a beat the bond mentality, which is just powerful. So to finish, I just want to leave you with the following thoughts. Business around the world is really getting fighting fit to both deliver profits and do it in a sustainable fashion. The agenda is being driven far more aggressively outside of Australia, and you've got to be really careful sitting here. You don't miss what's going on. You can't fake sustainability. You've got to be genuine about it. You can't pretend to care. You actually have to care. So you have to work out how you can craft a genuine culture in your business. If you don't do this, I believe it'll put you well out of step with your younger employees, the future leaders of your business, and limit your ability ultimately to attract the best talent. And finally, of course, if you decide to go down the refurbished repositioning of your office accommodation, Lendlease would only be too happy to help. Thank you.